Thank you for tuning into this podcast from Mainspring Church. We pray that in hearing this, you will be inspired to pursue Jesus and proclaim him to the people around you. Please visit mainspringchurch.com or connect with us on Instagram and Facebook at Mainspring Church AZ. Welcome to part one of this eight-part series that I hope will guide you into the new life that is yours in Christ. I have intentionally kept these messages shorter so that they can be a part of your daily routine for 8 days. This series can be beneficial any time of year, but it is definitely built around the final days before Jesus goes to the cross. So we're going to look at John chapters 12 through 17, starting with Palm Sunday and ending on Easter. So 8 days, eight messages, Sunday to Sunday. Again, I encourage you to do this any time of year. I hope that it reveals a new level of understanding of the new life that we have in Christ. So let's get started. Today, we're going to be looking at John 12, 22 through 50. If you haven't read it, I encourage you at some point to go back and just read the passage through. I'm going to be bringing highlights out of it, touching on pieces and parts of it. But if you read it in full and read it in the context, I think you can really get a lot from it. So before I start, you can pause and read it, or you can go and read it afterwards. I'd like to start by reading verses 12 through 18. This is a familiar passage of what has become a part of what we call in the church Palm Sunday. Verse 12. The next day, a large crowd that had come to the Passover feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and they went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey, and he sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went out to meet him was that they had heard he had done this sign. People had been hearing the news of all the miraculous things that Jesus had been doing, and a large crowd went out to meet him as he entered Jerusalem for Passover week. Now, for Jesus, being called the King of Israel, or being made king, did not make him a militant revolutionary like the Jewish people wanted him to be. Jesus didn't have an army. He wasn't coming in to do battle against the Roman Empire to set Israel free. His kingly authority actually didn't come from this world. It came from God in heaven. Jesus is the Messiah. He's the anointed one. He is the Christ. And as such, his reign as king was not merely a political reign. Instead, it was very much a spiritual reign. His victory was not going to be against governments or people. And I think it was difficult for the people at that time to see that the promise of the Messiah and this king that would reign victorious forever was Jesus, and that his battle was not flesh and blood. I think it was hard for them to see that he wasn't going to war against people. Instead, he was going to war against the powers over this present darkness. He was going to war against the spiritual forces of evil. He was bringing judgment to the ruler of the world, the evil one we call Satan. And as we see in verse 31 of this chapter 12, he's about to be cast out. You see, Satan has been working in the hearts and minds of people to build a culture that opposes the way of God. Everything about who God is, Satan is the opposite. He's convinced us to be something other than what we were created to be. And Jesus was the conquering king who is going to come in and defeat this influence and redeem his creation. He was going to redeem mankind, and he has. So here we are, for all of us who receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, We get to be free from the influence of the evil one. That influence is broken over our lives, and now we're influenced by the rule and reign of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus. We get to become a part of His kingdom, a new culture, the way of heaven. We get new life in Christ. But how did this happen? How did this come about? What was this victory? You see, we look at Jesus entering Jerusalem as a conquering king, but he was also entering Jerusalem as a lamb to the slaughter. Yes, blood would be shed in battle, but the battle being won was going to be won in the spiritual realm. A victory that would defeat sin. A victory that would reclaim the hearts of all who would receive the new king, King Jesus. We know Jesus was born a baby in Bethlehem. He was born in the city of a great king, King David. And he was born into the house of David, the lineage of David, who was the great king of Israel. And Jesus, therefore, had a rightful position to claim the throne of Israel. But Jesus was the promised Messiah, a king that would reign forever over all, not simply in Israel, but for all mankind forever. So this baby born in a manger was born a king, but he was also born a lamb among the sacrificial lambs raised in the hills of Bethlehem specifically for Passover. The king was the lamb, and the lamb would be king over all forever. It's interesting that John the Baptist saw this. As he stood on the banks of the Jordan River and seeing Jesus coming down to be baptized, he said to all the people who were there, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one I was talking about. When I said, 'A man is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me.'" Jesus was in the beginning with God, and he was God. Through Jesus, a perfect world was created. But let's be honest, sin entered that world and destroyed the beauty and the perfection of what God had made. But Jesus would give himself to see this creation redeemed to its original beauty. The King, the God of all, the Creator, would become the Lamb. If we look at Philippians chapter 2, one of my favorite passages, we see how the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords lowered himself to a place of becoming a sacrifice for all. It says that though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave, and he was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of the highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, Jesus is King, to the glory of God the Father. God so loved this world that he sent his Son, the only begotten from the Father, into the world to be the final sacrifice for all sins. The King became the Lamb. And anyone who will believe in him, anyone who will receive him, can have the new eternal life in Christ, who is risen and glorified with the Father. It's interesting how often we overlook the fact that in this parade of the victorious King, Jesus was also taking his final steps toward the cross. Death was in the path to victory. Death was in the path to victory. Just as much as resurrection was going to be the final blow, Jesus must die to be that final sacrifice and defeat death. The only way to defeat death is to come back from death. So shortly after this kingly parade, we find Jesus in Jerusalem, and he began to feel troubled in his soul because he knew that death lay ahead of him. But he also knew that this was the purpose for which he had come, for which he had laid down his kingly and heavenly privileges and taken the form of man, taken the form of a human, and become a slave, become a servant to the obedience of his Father. I think we can see that our new life in Christ also begins with death. We have to die in a way to our old life, and we have to receive the life of Christ. By repenting of our sin, we turn our back on the way of man, on the way of humanity, and we step into the life of Jesus. I think Paul said it perfectly in Galatians 2:20 when he said, "I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." You see, I have to die to my old way of believing, my old way of thinking and living. I have to put my old self, the old me, to death and be reborn a new creation in Christ. This can be so difficult for people to understand and believe. What is so bad about who I am that Jesus would have to be sacrificed for my sin? What is so wrong with me that I need to die to who I am today and receive this new life in Christ? Jesus came to those who should have known him, who should have seen him and recognized him for who he is, but they didn't, and they couldn't see him as God, and they rejected him as such. He came as a light into darkness, and we just didn't receive him. And this is our basic sin. This is the real heart of sin, that we don't believe who Jesus is. We don't receive him as the Savior and Lord of all. We don't see him as God, as the exalted King of Kings. Jesus came to show us who he was, who God was. He was the light that came into our darkness. But it's interesting that this message that points to Christ on the cross seems like absolute silliness to those who are hell-bent on destruction. But I want to say for those of us on the way of salvation, it makes perfect sense. To us who believe and are being saved, it is literally the power of God. Jesus Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And the truth of the matter is that the foolishness of God is wiser than the greatest wisdom of men. And the weakness of God is stronger than the greatest power of mankind and our ability to muster all of our strength and intelligence. In our greatest strengths, we are still not level with God's weakness. And we see that and compare that, and yet the message of the cross is still widely dismissed. It's viewed as narrow-minded, intellectually naive, and in some cases religiously intolerant. But the choice lies before the world. Jesus came as a light to reveal what was hidden to us in darkness. And if we believe in him and receive forgiveness of our sins, he will bring us out of that darkness into a new and glorious life in him. So I ask, who will believe this message of the cross? Jesus was God in flesh, and God in flesh looked much more like the servant of all than a great conquering king. Isn't that interesting? Jesus looked more like a servant, the ransom for many, a lamb, than he did a conquering king. You know, there was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to cause anyone to even take notice of him. He was looked down on. We all have turned our backs on him and looked the other way. But the fact is, it was our sins and our pains that he carried to the cross. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. The people that crucified him did so because they thought that he himself was evil, that he was blasphemous, calling himself God. saying that he was showing God, that God was his father, that he was born out of God, that just to them was, it was blasphemy. It was heresy. How could he ever say such things? And they couldn't imagine that he looked like God, that he spoke the words of God, or that he could possibly be God. So they rejected him and crucified him. But friends, I'm telling you, it was our sins that did that to him. He was beaten, ridiculed, and hung on a cross for us. They crucified him for our sins. He took the punishment that has made us whole. All of us were like little sheep who've wandered off and gotten lost. We've done our own thing and gone our own way, all of us. And God just took all of our sins and he piled everything we've done wrong right on Jesus. And through all of it, Jesus didn't say a word. Isaiah says that like a lamb taken to be slaughtered and like a sheep being sheared, he took it all in silence. It's remarkable to me because Jesus had done no wrong. Yet he selflessly took the punishment of a criminal. He took my punishment. He took your punishment. He took the punishment of mankind for not believing God, for not acknowledging God, for not living the way God created us to live. But this was the plan from the beginning, that he himself would become an offering for our sin. And from that, he would see new life. Just like the seed we read about here in John 12. Jesus would die. He would go down in the ground and he would come back to life and give new life to all who would believe. In this act, in this dying on the cross, Jesus completed his perfect obedience as a man to the will of God. Obedience even unto death. In doing that, he smashed the chains of guilt and condemnation that Satan has bound us with since the fall. So today I say, yes, behold the King. Behold the overcomer, the one who has given us victory. But also, behold the Lamb, who takes away the sins of all mankind in all generations. Behold the Lamb who was slain. In heaven we will be saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that you are the conquering King. I thank you that you have defeated Satan and his work in our lives. And if we will simply receive you, we can be set free from that evil influence and we can begin to live a new life in you, influenced by you, our King. I pray, God, that for those listening today, that if they haven't received you as Lord and Savior, that they will simply repent and begin to believe in you, Jesus, for who you are, the Creator, the God who spoke all this into existence, who holds it all together, and who came and was the ransom for all of us, so that we could be forgiven and set free from the influence of evil in our lives and become influenced by you. And I pray for those of us who are following you and pursuing you, Jesus, that we would continue to do so, laying down our old way every day to receive the new life and the new way of Jesus, the influence of the kingdom of heaven in our lives. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.